For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
This is Drop Tent Media Network.
Like, I met my wife at the gym. I knew what I wanted.
Yeah.
Right? When I saw her, I knew exactly what I was trying to do.
You know
what
I mean? Meeting at the gym.
Yeah, right? I knew.
You're very, very rarely are dudes meeting people at the gym. It doesn't matter who you are. Anybody meeting anyone at the gym is just like, we should start a book club together. Like, it's usually like, no, I would like to peel your pants off.
Exactly.
Hi, hello, welcome. Call the bus. Neil Wood. Wood.
By the renewing of your mind.
Call the bus.
The recycling. It's a flesh body world.
You're going to love it. And we might try to recruit you.
Human.
Comedian out of Philadelphia.
Slimy reptilian.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Cult of Us. Yes, back in the studio. I've got a wonderful guest here today. I'm excited for him. Let's see what kind of shit we got going on. Albert Davis here. In the studio,
The levels you're gonna find the levels of Albert Davis.
It's gonna be interesting.
Peel back this onion. You're just gonna be like, what the fuck?
It's gonna be fun. You are in full Yoda position. You are.
I am.
Feet up, tucked in.
I'm ready. Yeah, they can't see you guys. No. This is good mobility here.
Framed out. I gotta say,
ready to like
older guy, not that old, but a good looking dude. We're the same age almost.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I look like shit compared to Albert, but he looks good.
They can't even see my hip mobility. That's a problem.
The hip mobility, it doesn't come across on the audio platform.
No, but
the video.
I'm so mobile, like I don't even have to adjust anything.
No, you don't. I would already not join your cult. But
you would have to sit like this.
I'd have to. That's how everyone has to be able to do
at
it.
All
and I know there's
like
the
this.
There's the other one, which is bad for the audio people, but and also for the visuals, since our waists are cut off. But I know there's the other, right? So you have crisscross applesauce, as we now call it.
Yeah.
You and I grew up a little different.
Yeah, it was a different stuff.
But then you got the other one, right? Where the top leg goes in, right? You have to like sink that one. Now, I don't know why.
I can just do that just by going like that as I hit the mic.
There are a couple of people that I've worked with in the studio, and many of them have a way of finding hitting their mic without
trying. I'm trying to show off. I was trying to do a little too much.
You look good.
I'm trying to do a little too much.
No, it's all good.
Sorry about that.
But no, it doesn't matter. It's all good.
I blew it.
But you can't go. Yeah, you can go all the way in. You can like top like a yogi. Yeah, dude.
Look, there's no hands. I didn't even.
It's insane. I don't know how you're doing that. I don't know how you're doing that. That's already sort of impressive, and I'm kind of,
you would join.
I would probably.
If I was in front of a JCPenney trying to get followers, and I was like, hey, big fella, what do you think of this?
Yeah.
You'd be like, what the fuck? You'd be like, hold on, stop.
Hey, big fella. First of all, both of us, one, you're wonderful. One half of the Seriously Dad podcast,
that's
obviously.
Right.
Just did a great live show at Soul Joel's.
Yeah.
And had a very fun time there after you fucking, featured for Voss. It was awesome.
Rick, boom.
Rich Voss, it was a very fun show. But I like that anytime you and I are out in public, we're just obviously alone, but like if a dude's gonna talk to you, if someone's gonna ask for change, they always hit us with the big guy.
Big fella.
Big fella. It's anytime I just immediately turn, it's like,
you're gonna ask for a favor. I know what's
up?
About to happen. How much you need, bro?
Hey, big guy, what's up? Yeah, man, you got I'm like, yeah. Big, hold on. Let me see what I got.
Homeless people get you with the big fella.
Oh,
right?
All the time.
Yo, big man.
Yeah. Every
he's
time.
Talking to me.
He's
talking. You look around like there's no other.
You hope.
You can't even pass for big.
Yeah.
He's talking to me. Chill.
Yeah. There's like a 5'10 guy that turns around. He's like, no one's talking to you.
Not you, bro. Get
you're not over 6 foot.
Yeah. He would have said short king, right?
Get out of here.
Yeah, big guy. That's what it is. Big guy.
But,
I don't mind being the big guy. That's cool.
It is great to have you in the studio, dude. I appreciate it.
I like being in the studio. Do they know that I hang out at the studio more than right now?
I don't know. Do they? Yeah. I mean, obviously, Albert are like, we're friends in comedy as well.
Yeah,
so.
I'm here every few weeks. Just
done
chilling.
Wonderful shows together.
Talking shit, doing shows, road trips.
Road trips. Places. Definitely.
Yeah.
Of course, always.
But I'll act like I've never been here before. I like
what? Oh, yeah. Look at all that. Well, you're habitually sort of a great, nice guy. That's the thing. I've always heard that and said that So yeah, yeah, you're a good dude.
You know, I'm glad you say that. Sometimes I feel unlikable.
Yeah, yeah, we all. I mean, you and I are. This doesn't happen in the tall giant thing. No one remembers that. Like, yes, I know you see the tall guy, and then we're always paid as like the confidence and the thing. You know, you're like, we also sometimes feel like we're in someone's way. Yeah, or oh, yeah. Just, yeah, you're like, oh, I'm sorry, you hit an elbow. Yeah,
your shoulders are hitting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're just, yeah. You know, you're trying to make things. So, but I, from you, is yeah, it's the different thing of where I kind of do have the same thing where it's just like, sometimes I'm like, am I a piece of shit?
Yeah, am I just fucking an asshole? Like me? Like, yeah. Well, you know, the only thing I realized is I don't have a lot of like inside jokes or stories with a lot of people.
Mm,
that's what makes me think I'm not, like, it means I'm not connecting with anyone that's told me something like, hey, don't tell anyone, or you know, like we got like a. Not, I don't get a lot of that.
Yeah,
I don't get a lot. That makes me feel like I'm. I don't really have a circle, but I mean, I do. But that's why I feel like
it's. I mean, when building the friendship or a following, or you know, as we're talking about, kind of like you know, on the Cult of Us podcast here, you know, it's interesting because yeah, I don't really want anyone to follow me. Like the idea, like I've never went into comedy to be famous for fame. I wanted to just be able to work as a comic.
Yeah.
I mean, and now it's like you have to be famous and, you know, obviously you have to be famous in order to be like, it's wild.
You got to be famous. You got to do a couple of things, I feel like. You got to like, oh, he's a good comedian and he can play basketball. Oh, he's a good golfer. Yeah, it's always like another thing you got to be good at.
Absolutely.
You know, but I feel like that. See, when I'm around other comics, that's when I feel like I'm the least likable.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get
and
you
that's
on
because
that.
Once again, I don't have a lot of shared inside stories. There's a lot of things happened that I wasn't there for.
Right.
Someone's like, oh, remember that time when so-and-so? And I'm like, nah, I don't.
I mean, dude, you're preaching to the choir. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's sometimes, I mean, we've also been in it for a minute. And just like, you know, high school or college or anytime when you have like, you know, the like kind of classes move on. And, you know, so then you'll see, new people coming in. And, you know, you want to establish some type of thing. But then we've also, there's a couple people on here that know this as well. But like, you know, anytime you're jumping into a creative pursuit, but you also have another life, you have, you know, work, a regular work life. I suffer from a thing every once in a while. Let me know if you feel this or people at home. It's a bad thing. It's not a good mentality.
All right. Hit me.
I don't even need another friend.
Oh, my, fuck yeah.
You know what I mean?
It sounds way worse than it is.
It is. Yeah, it sounds way worse.
It sounds like you're like if someone comes up to you, you're going to be like, fuck you, leave me alone.
Right.
And that's not what it is, but I feel the same way. Like, I got like 7 friends.
Yeah.
Right? 3 of them I only talk to on the phone because they don't even live near.
Yeah.
And then I got like 4 other, and that's it. And I'm the same way. Like, I don't need to add, then I got to put another number in my phone. Then I got to text you. Then I got to meet you at a bar. Then we got to go here. Then I got to like your Instagram post. I don't want that.
It's
I'm good.
Overwhelming. I think it all stems back to, I had this very kind of, now that I think about it, like a small childhood. Like I didn't have, you know, I mean, like I moved around as much. So I didn't make a ton of friends at school, a little bit. Well, and I had kids around the neighborhood. So I had kind of 2 different lives.
Well, how many friends did you have? Like,
I think I had a good,
picture of you, like, and your crew. How big is your crew?
Like there was maybe if I was saying the it was like the, you know, the ride or die guys three. It's me and then what's up? Alex, Tom, Randy.
Right.
But so, this is like, you know, that's
so
it.
So if someone was looking for Alex, they'd be like, he's probably with Neil.
Boom.
Right? Someone's looking for Randy, he's probably with Alex and Neil.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So I got 3 of those.
Yeah.
Growing up.
It's kind of just, I never, and Derek, of course, like it's like, those are like, you know, Derek's probably my best friend since 7th grade. The other guys, you know, from the neighborhood, you know, we just, of course, grew and I went to college and, you know, I moved. So, but Derek's been my friend since I was in 7th grade and, you know, absolutely ride or die. So it's a thing where you help a dude move 8 times. It's like, you know, you're like, we're good fucking friends. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, he's cleaned up my vomit. I've cleaned up his. You know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of friendship.
If you were to get married tomorrow, how many people would you invite to, like, to your wedding, like your people?
Based on my budget, 8.
Okay.
Yeah. No, 8, but
with the guests, or is that 4 with the guests?
Exactly. No, just 8. No spouses. Can't afford it, guys. Can't do the dinners.
I got married. I only invited 4 dudes.
Yeah.
Like my 4 friends.
Yeah. I think we went for, you know, I hate to rehash in the podcast, but I mean, all this kind of does play into my fascination with cult-like behavior. Because obviously cults are just something homegrown out of our own human instincts and behaviors. They're just taken to 11 or manipulated in some way.
Right. Now, is there usually like a thing that, like, people say CrossFit is a cult.
Sure. Right?
So like you walk in the building for CrossFit, mm-hmm. but then you start to meet all the people around and then you get part into the cult, right? So you walk in the room for comedy. Then you start hanging out with all these comedians, and then you get pulled for the cult. So is any cult, is there always like the yoga guy? The yoga guy was a cult guy.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone went in there for yoga.
Yeah.
And then he like commandeered their lives and brought them to the cult.
Right.
So there's always got to be like a piece, like a central piece that gets you through the door. Is that how that goes?
Yeah. It's kind of us, like, I like to explore on here like behaviors and how we exhibit them. And I think in comedy or entertainment in any way, we tend to have a little bit more of the behaviors or fall into self. Again, just even like a booker persuading you to do a fucking dumb thing that you need to do on stage to pay for money.
Yeah.
There's this kind of back and forth, and we see it in our everyday lives, but it doesn't go to the next step. And I did have a thing I wanted to, I'm missing it, but we'll keep going down this train and it'll come back to me. It's a thing to clarify for the cult stuff. It's a difference between a cult and a group is when the people in the group are being manipulated or find themselves doing things they wouldn't otherwise normally do if they didn't feel what is essentially peer pressure,
it's pressure
to perform. Right.
So it doesn't end up being their intrinsic desire to do this thing.
A lot of people. Yeah.
It ends up being inside.
Oh, no, it doesn't. I'm sorry. It doesn't. I'm agreeing with you. Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. A lot of people.
So it's like the guy's looking over your shoulder being like, so you're going to do yoga over for the 4 hours today, right?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, yeah, totally, man.
Yeah. Over the years, it's been like, it's kind of seen as now people in cults are much more seen as actual victims themselves, obviously to different extents. But like a lot of them are just going along to get along. They didn't know they find themselves in a situation, and now if they were to do something, they're about to be punished. If they were, you know, we're going to get into maybe some of the punishments you would come up with some rules you would set down. And it's
some punishments.
It's that thing where it's just interesting in the behavior. Sorry. We got off on a whole thing.
I think about comedians, and then you brought a booker, so I guess we're going to start to meander down that path.
I would love that.
Comedians are, a lot like wrestlers,
right?
It's really weird, but you have to have this drive and this
hell
desire,
yeah, brother. Like professional wrestlers,
like grapple, motherfuckers.
Olympic wrestlers. Gotcha.
You got to have this drive in you where you want to do it when no one's watching.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the things that we do for Neil, you and I have been in a car for an hour and 40 minutes for 7 minutes each,
100%.
And we felt good about it, and we weren't even upset about it. If you tell an average person, oh well, what you got to do is you got to get in a car and you got to drive to Hanover, Pennsylvania.
Right.
Most people are going to be like, isn't that like 2 hours away? No, it's actually 2 hours and 10 minutes away.
Yeah.
Most people, they wouldn't do that.
Right.
So we're almost in a cult artist because we're like, well, I'll do it. We'll do it. But wrestlers are the same way. They're fucking crazy. Yeah. Their desire to be a good wrestler. When I was in high school, they'll starve themselves. They'll train and train and train. Jump rope with sweatsuits on and in a sauna. I mean, and it's like this crazy thing they have going, this desire. So you don't have, it doesn't take a lot to talk a comedian into doing something. And I don't think it takes a lot to talk a wrestler into doing something because they already are halfway there anyway. And I don't mean that to shit on wrestlers. I think very highly.
No, it's built off this pursuit, right? It's built off this something inside of them that they want. Yeah, I mean, if you're not working on your comedy a little bit every day, I mean, I don't want to, if I was the co-leader that way or like had these weird like rules, it'd be like, dude, if you're not working on it every day, you're not a comic.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this. People always come to me and they go, when do you write your jokes? How do you get more material? And I don't say this, but I'm like, when don't you write your jokes?
Right.
I'm writing all day. Oh, that guy just fell across the street. Is there material there? No. Oh, that person on the phone was an idiot. Is there material there? Nah, maybe there is, maybe there. I'm always writing. I'm having a conversation with a realtor. I just got 3 jokes out of this bitch. She's crazy. And I just put that in there.
Yeah.
And it's just an obsessive pursuit of the next best joke you're ever going to fucking tell.
Yeah.
So when people are like, when do you write? It's like, when am I not writing?
Yeah.
You know, I'll even say to, like, if I'm talking to my wife, not a comedian, she may do something, she may say something or tell a story, and I go, there's a bit here. I'm going to take that. You cool with that?
Yeah.
She's like, I don't care. But, you know, it's just material. It's just because it's everywhere you look. So I'm never not.
Do you find that to be manipulative in a way?
Of my wife or just...
Of just any time you're witnessing or observing, well, especially, I guess, dealing with family or friends, you know, you're witnessing something. And obviously, we have, there's that old thing of like, you know, oh, don't use this in your little skit or, you know, whatever.
You can use that for your little sketch.
It's always Uncle Rob.
Your little skit. That's what they always say. You can use that word, your little skit you do.
Your little skit. Yeah, it's always that. But like, yeah, there is something kind of voyeuristic about some of it. If you're, you know, if you're constantly pulling from your life sometimes, you have to be a little careful.
You do have to be careful.
Watching, minding, feelings and stuff like that, and ask people and reach out. And, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to, last thing you want to be doing is sitting at the graduation party and be like, hey, I heard your little fucking joke about my small dick. And you're like, oh boy, this is not what I meant.
Uncle Ron. Sit down.
It's Ron. Yeah, Ron. It's Ron.
Ron.
Because I'm Albert. Okay. There's no Roberts in my family. You can't have Alberts and Roberts, bro. Come on.
Of course. Sorry, I forgot that old family tradition.
Albert before Bert. Anyway. But yeah, so being a comedian, and you know, we talk about Cole. I think a comedic booker.
Mm.
I don't want to say they're leading a cult, but if we all happen to be a cult at one point, they would be running the fucking thing. Not the guy who owns the club, not the woman who owns the club, the person in charge of booking the talent, the key holder to a lot of dreams for a lot of people. If there was a cult in comedy, they're at the helm.
Yeah. And they're individual for each place, right? It's kind of like they run that show. And a lot of it is sometimes based off. And the reason why I think you're pitching it that way is sometimes it's just based off a feeling. Like they don't even, there doesn't need to be a justification. There doesn't need to be a thing. It's just like, I don't like that person. And you're like, wow, they're funny, genteel and wonderful. Yeah, on time and put together. It's just like, I don't like them.
I just don't like them. And you cannot get work. Yeah. Someone just doesn't like you.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, or they heard something about you.
Yeah.
And they don't even know if it's true. Yeah. And I've been in situations where the booker comes in and everyone goes,
right.
Okay, where's the camera? I got to look.
Don't move. Yeah.
Don't move. Don't move. No, the booker's right behind you. Yeah.
Eyes darting back and forth.
If you take his oxygen, if you take her oxygen, she may never book you again. And that is a 100% real thing. That's one of the things I strongly dislike about the game is that we have to appease people and I don't even know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, at least sometimes you go to a job interview, you know, hey, if I'm interviewing for Boeing, they probably want someone who knows something about engineering and planes and shit.
Yeah.
You know, you go to the booker, you don't even know what they like. You don't know what they dislike. You don't know what they're looking for. You don't even know sometimes you don't even know if and when they're watching you.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, that's very cult leader. Like, they're just sitting in the back room in the shadows like this, trying to find a reason to not let you in.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
You know what's a manipulation thing that I haven't thought about till just now is like, and I'm bad at, and some people would pitch it as like, well, you're being authentic, you're being real. But I really don't, it doesn't need to be that, but I will sometimes have this feeling of like, man, I have to, with a booker, let's say, I will have to get to know, like, try to make a friendship. It's one of the craziest manipulation
things.
And
here you are. You don't even want to add friends. You just told us. You don't even want to add friends.
That's what I was going to say. Like, in getting back to that, some of that stuff is you have these weird kind of, sometimes as a human being, I will feel overwhelmed sometimes adding a new person to my life. If anyone ever feels that way, you know, you just have this weird thing. It really just, I think, comes back to just, you know, I grew up in like a smaller, slower place. And like, also now we interact through so many things. You were even hitting on some of them. You're like, wow, now I got to like follow up with them and like, you know, make sure I'm following and hitting their stuff.
Oh,
and
it's his birthday.
It's overwhelming. I feel like I'm going to let someone down.
Oh.
And that comes back to me never wanting to let someone down. It's probably my biggest fear, personality trait, like thing that I'm just like, if I want people to, of course, be comfortable and happy and talk to them and learn about them. But every once in a while, I'll just have this thing of like, ah, oh, man, I'm if I get to know this person, I want to be friends with them, but I'm going to let them down in some way.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be there. You know, I'm you know, it's that kind of thing. Yeah. But like
for the birth of their first, second.
Yeah. Like in that moment, you and I feel like, I think what saves us from any like too much cult behavior, like going down a primrose path to like something, is like, we are, you said, and I've said, like a little bit of overthinker sort of sometimes, you know what I mean? I'm thinking three different perspectives. I'm adding some, like, maybe they think this, like, you know, like,
in comedy, it is the type of thing where, and I feel like a manipulator and a piece of shit too. if I try to create a relationship with someone based on wanting something out of that person,
I feel gross.
I don't feel good about that.
I feel disgusting.
Now, I know people who don't give a fuck, who can get in there and just do it, and they remember the first name and the last name and something you told them last time. I try to pride myself on letting relationships build organically.
Yeah.
And in comedy, I guess in the world, the people who are good at faking that organic building of a friendship, they do better.
Yeah.
But it's all based, in my opinion, based on manipulation.
Yeah, it is.
Tricking someone.
Well, I'd like to challenge you on that a little bit. Oh, because I feel like there is a viewpoint here where, and I've heard this talked about in entertainment specifically, right? Where, because in regular life, you're just like, yeah, I don't need to know the teacher's assistant at my kid's school. Like, I know their name or whatever, but like, unless, I don't need to get involved. But, you know, with comedy, entertainment stuff, it's kind of like sometimes you could benefit greatly from, you know, at least having a acquaintance, you know, relationship there. And yeah, I do feel the same thing with you, like manipulating a little bit. Like I obviously am trying to benefit from this and it feels dirty and I don't like that. I've never wanted to do that or, you know, always come up.
I wish it was more transactional in the world of comedy. I wish it was more like,
it'd be interesting.
Hi, what do you want? Here's my tape. What did you think? When can I book? Like very like A, B. This whole thing of like, hey, we getting beers after, right? I've done shows where an important, I wouldn't even call him the booker, just an important member of this comedy stat, whatever.
Yeah.
Has one to go get beers later. I don't want to get beers. I don't go home. I don't even drink that much.
Yeah, you don't.
Now I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Because it's like, oh, if this person likes me, this will open doors.
Yeah.
You know? And that's a fucked up thing to do because that's not even who I am. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'll go to bar. I'm going to be drinking club sodas, watching you get drunk and act like a fool. You know what I mean? For what? Because I want you to like me. And I don't really like that. And I always feel like relationships like that, they kind of crash and burn hard.
Yeah. True.
Like they fall out harder.
Well, yeah, they feel false. Witnessing.
But when they go back, like you ever see something like that? Two people that become friends really fast, like, oh, love you, girl, love you, skank. You know, they do all that shit. And then like 3 weeks later, it's like, fuck that bitch. And you're like, whoa. And now it's not just women, fuck that dude.
You're
like, what happened? In my opinion, what happened is you guys both built a relationship on some fake shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the real shit came out, you were like, I hate this person.
Right.
You know? My opinion.
No, that's interesting. I mean, I've been trying to look at it from a perspective of, you know, if you have dialogue with that person, you know, and something hits, you know, whatever it is, just being cordial, you know, with someone that you'd like to get to know, but not, of course, in a false way, you know, try to look for anything. Try, I think, is the key word there. It's like, hey, how are you know, kids, family, you know, like what do you got going on? Do you like sports? You're like, nah, you know, if it just doesn't seem to be moving, I sort of just kind of give up. I kind of just go like, all right, well, you know, like I kind of just back away and be like, yeah, I don't think that person doesn't like me. I just think it's like, you know, hey man, I don't have a lot of tools in the bag there, I guess. So, you know, I know them, but you know, I don't know how they feel about me. And you know, you kind of go that way with it.
I guess every relationship kind of starts with somebody wanting something. Like I met my wife at the gym. I knew what I wanted.
Mm, yeah.
Right? When I saw her, I knew exactly what I was trying to do. You know what I mean?
Meeting at the gym.
I knew.
You're very, very rarely are dudes meeting people at the gym. It doesn't matter who you are. Anybody meeting anyone at the gym is just like, we should start a book club together. Like, it's usually like, no, I would like to peel your pants off.
Exactly. That's what I knew. Exactly. When I met, but like, when do you meet someone and there's not? I'm just trying to think of when I've met people. Like, I meet people playing golf, I'll meet people.
Of course.
But I don't get their numbers when we're done.
Right.
And we don't play golf again. You know,
it's so funny that you're here. Yes. This is to the point.
Yeah. And I do jiu-jitsu.
And I would have that moment. Wait, hold on. Is there a time you can recall? Golf is perfect because golf is you go, you talk to them, they're cool. And then at the end of that exchange, sometimes I will have that moment where I'll be like, I'm like, I could get their number, but like, we're not going to be friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like Kieran, I always quote Wolf of Wall Street. It's when they're sitting across the table from Bombshell. What's her name? Yeah, the actor. And she's like, we're not going to be friends. Like, you know, like, he's like, what? Married people can't have friends? And she's like, we're not going to be friends. Oh, that, like, you know, because they're going to fuck. And it's, I use
Ray Finkel. Ray ain't coming home. You know, Ace Ventura? It's just like, what? This doesn't make any sense. Ray ain't coming home.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, golf is a great example because you're with someone for like 4 fucking hours.
Sure.
And you've seen them happy. You've seen them sad. Man. You've seen them get a text from their wife.
Might have talked about some tough shit.
Told you about their addiction. You're sitting in a cart with someone and be like, hey, what is a cigarette?
Just opens it up.
And nature opens it up. And if booze does come out, now I don't drink a lot, but I will drink a couple on the golf course. Yeah, next thing you know, you feel like you love this person.
I flipped
like,
a cart once.
Did you really?
Yeah. Shout out Derek Forbes. What's going on, bro?
I flipped a cart once. We weren't drunk. We were just kids, but but then they leave and different same tastes. Thing. It's like when you were single and you'd be at the bar and you were like, man, I've been hitting it off with this girl all night. I should get her number. Right. Kind of like that with golf. Like me and this dude hit it off, man. We both shot 82s and da da da. I should get his number, but I don't want to be your friend beyond. Don't ruin it. In my head, you're a pleasant man. I love you.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, again, I think it goes back to, that's a perfect example that we're using, because it goes back to the thing where I feel like overwhelmed. I'm like, it's going to be my nerve. What if he hits me up? And then I'm like, ah, dude, I'm busy. Before you know it, we haven't talked in months anyway. And I feel bad. I just go like, you know what, man, I'm trying. It's a thing of coming from a place of juggling too much shit already. And I know that knowing it is half the thing, and I try to correct. I try to go like, hey, man, the friendship, it doesn't need to be like this deep, overwhelming fucking crescendo, you know, of like a friendship. It's be at my wedding.
I mean, let's say you meet a dude and we play golf.
Right.
Like, wow, this Neil, he's a really cool dude. I like everything about this guy. And you're like, this Albert guy is really cool. We get numbers. And then I hit you up on Friday night, and I'm like, hey, Neil, what are you doing?
Right.
What are the chances? You're going to be like, yeah, let's totally meet up for booze or for food, whatever. I mean,
probably, yeah.
For someone who keeps on saying they don't drink a lot, everything I say has.
Well, golf. You're hitting on golf. It's golfers. Those behind. Drinkers.
Let's go out to dinner. Oh, I got an extra ticket for a Sixers game. Sure. What are the chances of you going? Not you getting him to go, him or her to go with you. What are the chances of you leaving your house for someone else?
It's
you barely fucking know.
Yeah, it's kind of. Going out with I'm too work focused. I'm too work focused. I'm working most Friday nights and Saturday nights. Yeah. If not comedy, then I'm in the studio trying to put more stuff together and keep everything.
Right, it's like, who would you leave? I said it before, but like, who would you leave? Like, I'm not leaving the house just for anybody.
Yeah, that's true. Right? Now,
and like, there's also like a summer relationship and a winter relationship. It's easy to leave the house in the summer. Throw a tank top on. Throw a pair of shorts on. Throw some flip flops on. Get on a longboard. I'm really painting myself. Your longboard, get on your bike, walk, and go meet a buddy.
Sure.
2 days ago, it was windy as fuck.
Right.
Yo, if you're just my golfing buddy, I ain't coming out. I'm not leaving my fucking house. It's dark at 4 o'clock. You think I'm leaving the house to go hang out with someone? I don't know.
I already heard the story about your wife.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I can't really go anywhere. So I think like men after the age of like 35 really just stop adding.
Mm. You hear it so much. I'm trying to keep it open. I'm trying to I've met really cool people, and I try not to put, I think that's the key, is try not to put parameters that you haven't figured out onto interaction with someone. You never know. It's going to be fine whether you guys don't ever talk again or, you know, you end up kind of shooting golf every once in a couple of months. Who cares? I had a bunch of guys I used to play ball with. I used to play basketball with, you know, definitely could have built more relationship, but at a certain point it just goes back to the biological imperative. And the biological imperative a lot of times is like, you know, we're apes and we can only handle like 150 people. Like really, it's, you know, and 100, I know 150 comedians already. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just like,
know a ton of comedians.
Yeah. It's just, that's where it comes in, that overwhelming feeling, but I'm trying to leave it open. I'm trying to, you know, cause you never know, you might meet some people, but I always feel bad. It always goes back to that thing of like, I'm going to let him down. Some of them like, oh man, yeah, he couldn't make it out. And then I missed two things before you know it. They're like, he doesn't even you know what I mean? You're like, it's not that. I'm sorry, man. Like, you know, it's.
And you focus on other things though also. Cause every time you got to leave and go do something somewhere else, you can't do the thing you want to do. No. Now, the other problem I have is I don't like people in my house.
Oh
yeah.
I've been in your house one time. And this was recently. I've known you for years.
For a while. You've been in my house once. And you probably, I don't know what you thought before you went in, but usually people who don't like people in their house, their house probably looks kind of shitty or is fucked up.
Oh, wow.
But my house, I mean, I'm not bragging. It looks good though. Nice house. I don't like people in my house.
Yeah,
I do not like people in my house.
I feel you.
Because for some, the amount of anxiety I get when someone is in my house.
Are you too diligent of a host? I feel like that from you. Are you like, or is it the other way? You're like, hey man, you're here. You need anything? You ask once, and then it's kind of like move on.
I'll tell you the truth about it. So it's a two part. First, I'm gonna answer your question. Right. Diligent. I'm not an overbearing host. Yeah. I think I'm a pretty good host. You want something to drink? Want something to eat? No, you're good. Okay, if you want it, it's in there. I offered it once.
Cool. Yeah.
Now you go get it. I just told this story to someone today. This is very friends of mine. When I was younger, we lived in New York. We lived in Harlem, New York. I'm 41, so I lived there. That was 30 some years ago that I can remember living there. Okay. We went to school on 68th Street.
Okay.
Real nice Hebrew school.
Yeah.
With elevators and like shit like that. Nice.
Harlem's in the above
127. That I grew up on.
Man, I pulled that from
60.
I'm not from New York. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know how you got that. I like that
shit.
So I'm going 60 blocks.
Yeah.
Down damn near a fucking Hunter College. That's where.
Right.
So the kids I went to school with, they would have their birthday parties, their play dates. They lived in fucking penthouse. They lived
top
of New York City.
Right.
12-foot windows.
Right.
Doorman. Guy pulls a car to the front when you call down. You know, and I lived in Harlem, and it was at the time it was a rough joint, and there was fucking bugs. Mm. You may know them as roaches.
Yep, typically.
Nothing was more embarrassing than having your buddy from 14th Street down. You know what I mean?
Oh fuck!
And then a fucking little scurry thing happens, yep. And it's like, oh fuck, that was so embarrassing. Hopefully they didn't see it. Are they going to come back? And that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
Now, my house right now, there ain't no bugs running around my house. But I have this fear that, like, you're going to be at my house when those little centipedes is going to come running out. And you're going to be like, Albert's a dirtball. Albert's a disgusting human. Tell everybody. Right. And then, you know, that's really what it is.
I feel you.
And then no bugs.
No bugs.
I'm afraid that when I have a party and everyone's over and we're doing a champagne toast, that 30 of them are just going to run out of nowhere and be like, and that's
going to be a story for them to tell.
Them to tell like, Albert Davis
asshole. Yeah. Hold on.
I met him on the golf course. He was fucking cool on the golf course. Yeah. Go to his house. And so, yeah, that's probably 80% of it.
Yeah.
And it's just fear. Anxiety is just the fear of what could possibly happen.
True.
And it's never happened before. I mean, since then, it hasn't happened before, but I'm just afraid that it's going to happen.
And also, it's Philadelphia. You're technically a row home. Like,
right, you're touching buildings.
And you're going
to
be.
And look, bro, if we were hanging out in one of those little centers, I wouldn't even think, I would not give a fuck.
Yeah.
But I feel like in the reverse, I would be judged so heavily.
You would be, oh, yeah, sure.
And I just, you know.
There is something about the judgment thing.
The judgment.
Sometimes you're always, like, you, if anyone ever feels like you're like, I don't judge people in that way. Because if I saw Sendmere, I was like, yeah, I know. It's a pain because I got, you know, every once in a while you'll see one in your house. And you're like, how the fuck I keep a clean place?
Yeah,
what the hell's going on?
No crumbs.
But, you know, it's a city. What are you going to do? But it's, and also we are human beings existing in a world that is probably not meant for housing. But like, I mean, it's like bugs are going to get in. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, there's got to be that judgment thing where it's like, I never judge people on that. Like, again, I've been in and people that you know, I know, we've been to comic houses. Christ, we've performed at a place called The Cave back in the day.
Oh, man, love The Cave. Shout out to
over
The Cave.
Temple. Yeah. What's going on? You know, and that was basically just like a squatted temple house.
Yeah.
With a bunch of kids living in it, you know, with, I've never seen a toilet more devastated. It was very upsetting. You know, yeah, and I kind of go like, wow, I would throw a little judgment, but I don't judge them. I go like, man, these guys really got to clean up around here. Like, I don't think they're bad people.
You're not like, don't talk to
me. I've been around.
Yeah,
we come from like a more humble man. It's like, yeah, dude, I get it. It's like, yeah, I should probably hit this place with a mop every once in a while. You know, but it's always, you find other people and then you'd be like, man, you guys really judge like a lot differently than I do.
Yeah, I mean, you ever be around people who are talking about someone, judging the shit out of them, and you're like, I know they do this when I'm not around.
I know, I know
they do this shit when I'm not here.
It's crazy. It's one of those things. I mean, it plays into our human interactions, behaviors. I know usually it's all like anxiety from that person and their stuff. I really try not to say anything I wouldn't say to them.
That's a good
thing. It's usually that I think it's been my thing I learned when I was younger, and then just try to be like, would you say this to them straight out? And be like, if that's the case, then try to, you know, say it in a way that you can. So it's that. But it is, you know, these wonderful human behaviors that we have.
Yeah.
As they interplay with the anxieties between them and everything. It leads us to do things we might not normally do. Yeah. You're worried the moment we walk in.
Oh,
that you're just like everything. Yeah, everything's cool. You're looking around. The chair was out.
No flies. Nothing. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, and I also have dogs. So if you don't like dogs, if you don't like dogs, you're like, oh, get the dog away from me. You know, there's that thing. So I feel bad for my wife because she probably, she should invite whoever she wants over at the house.
Of course.
But we don't invite a lot of people to our house.
Yeah.
Just the way it is. But, you know. Maybe I'll turn over a leaf and I'll start doing that.
Yeah.
But it's hard to make friends and you're like, oh, yeah, we're not hanging out at my house.
Yeah, that definitely adds a layer.
And it's like every friend I meet is just a side chick. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we can't hang out at my house, though, you know, because, you know, my wife.
Just can't have you around my wife.
She can get weird if she finds out. Yeah. So I just don't add them. Like, I do jujitsu with a ton of great people. I have like 2 phone numbers of them.
Right.
Other than that, I hit them up on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then I'll be there on Monday, and they're like, "Oh, over the weekend we did da da da," and I'm thinking, "Why aren't I included? Because you don't even have their telephone numbers. That's why you're not included."
Yeah, it's probably more ubiquitous now where people, and I think I even know, the people that I know that just have like, "Oh, well, we met online, like somewhere, you know, they're like they're an Instagram friend. Like I'd never actually technically met them."
Mm-hmm.
And you and I, you know, or you're 41, I believe.
41.
Yeah, 41. I'm 36.
Instagram friends.
Right. We're a high school apart or whatever. You know, high school like period apart, graduation apart. It's basically you're like my sister's age. It's basically, you know, she's going out of high school. I'm moving in,
picking on you.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Well, I would have been the snot-nosed little brother of my sister, and I would have just been like, you know, accidentally walking into the bathroom when her friends were using it. You know, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
No.
Hey guys, I was a younger brother. I did the same thing. Hey. Oh, you guys are all in here?
Had one crush. I'm sorry. Jeez.
I had a crush on all of them. I'm just going to keep it real with you.
A little bit of a problem. Yeah. A little bit of a thing. It's very nice existence. But yeah, you find like, you drop that quickly. I think you hit about 12. You're like, stop being a little weirdo. Before we go into, you know what? Let's do a little break. We're going to grab some water and then we're going to go into some sweet rules. I want to hear, we've learned a little bit about you, some of your thought processes, kind of how you move and what we see of the world and stuff. And I think we're going to do a little break, get some water, and then we'll get into some cult rules you might make up.
Cult rules, okay.
Cool.
Awesome.
We'll be back. Producer and friend, Neil Wood here. Brief commercial break. Hey, how you doing? This is Neil Wood, one of the co-owners of Drop 10 Media Network and who helps run Biggest Little Comedy. You can check out all the other stuff we do at drop10.com. We've got podcasts, live comedy shows, and so much more. Go over there, support your favorite podcasts, follow them, subscribe. We appreciate it. Again, we're 100% DIY, just a bunch of creatives trying to make it in this. And give us some feedback. We always enjoy a little feedback. Thanks. Bang. And we're back.
Right.
Albert Davis in the studio.
Yes.
Fresh from a break. Listen.
My water. I was drinking water.
Oh, yeah. He wants to get his...
Had that on there. Yeah. How am I messing this up? There you go. That's guy right here. That's my sticker. All right.
That's your sticker.
Yeah, you guys know.
I love designing. It was great.
Oh, yeah, great idea for it. Have you seen any around?
Seen any around? I don't know. I actually have. Obviously, I've been down and just working on stuff here. I haven't really been out, but you've been spreading.
Oh, I put it around.
You've been spreading the word all over.
Hopefully, you see them. Every once in a while, I get a DM. Someone's like, "Yo, this you?"
Yeah.
I'm like, clearly it is.
Yeah,
you got me on the DM.
It's got my name on it.
Yeah. It looks like me.
It'd be weird if the QR code just took you to like Lowe's. Just be like,
"Yo, this is you,
Albert,
bro.
What the fuck is this about?" Yeah, what's going
on?
It's
my side hustle.
Yeah. Just repping for Lowe's. Don't mind me. All right. So it is time. So we've got some rules we'd love for you to set up. It could be very minute. It could be small rules. Could be anything. But if you had a cult.
I mean, you got to cook for me.
Okay. Wow. Okay. First rule.
Keep me fed.
They're cooking for you.
There's probably gonna be something sexual in
your call. It's just an extension of a relationship.
Feed me, fuck me, right? No, I mean,
leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah, like, and give me money, and give me your money, give me your stuff, give me your house, give me your money. Let me acquire wealth. Let me do whatever I want. Make sure I'm fed, and like, let's get a little freaky in here. You know what I mean?
Okay,
that would. What are the fucking rules? Like, there's never a positive cult. That's the thing. There's never a positive cult. No one's ever like, I joined this cult and then my work got better. I made more money. It never goes in the opposite direction. It's always like, I joined this cult. I cut off all my friends and family. I gave this guy all my money. I banged nine guys. You know what I mean? So, you know, I could have gone positive. I could have been like, you got to wake up every day and say three positive things about yourself.
Well, but what are some specifics? So if they have to feed you, I'm imagining three meals a day.
I'm probably like eight, but like
eight. Well, okay, yeah.
A lot of snacking. Coffee is like coffee would be a staple. I need coffee every morning. Yeah. Good coffee, not that bullshit. I need some good coffee.
Would there be any punishments?
I wouldn't be a good punisher.
Okay,
I wouldn't be physically hurting people.
Right. Well, what's a punishment then that you would have to? Would they have to do something?
Is that the rule? Well, like, if
based
you mess
on
up, you
yeah, based on our experience, I mean, there has to be. It doesn't need to be harmful. Yeah,
probably like public shame. I'd be like, hey, everyone.
Okay.
Neil didn't feel like I deserve coffee this morning. Everybody look at him and laugh.
Dunce cap.
I wouldn't be a good cult leader because I'm not.
You're like a kindergarten teacher. Yeah. Like back in the 40s when you weren't supposed to do that.
Exactly. Because I don't have a mean enough streak in me to like when I'm fucking cut your fingers off or something. I'm not going to do that.
Right. You're not Yakuza.
My call would be so shitty. It'd be so bad. They'd be like, yeah, Albert wants us to do it, but we don't do it. He doesn't say anything.
Your call kind of sounds like it's like a cruise ship.
Exactly. It's like diet
call. They don't keep
diet call. Like, yeah, it's a call, but he doesn't give a fuck. You do whatever you want. So I'd get fed. I would want your money and stuff.
Of course.
I want to take your wealth. That was what
to what extent? Would these people be destitute, or would there be like a tithing where it's like a percentage of everything
Make? Give me all your worldly possessions because we can't have worldly possessions.
Wow, that's interesting.
Now, you know, it's funny because I do have this cult-like thought process of living in the woods surrounded by the people I love and care about.
Every man, I think, has this. Yeah.
And like we're not going to do crazy, weird shit. Yeah. But like
you're not going
the type
Ted
of deal where like if someone is driving down that road, we know who they are. We know why they're here. Mm. Like, no one's just meandering by my property being like, right, just in this neighborhood. No, like, this is private. You can't come back here. Yeah. The fact that you got this far is because we've essentially allowed you to. So that's like a cult-like kind of deal. But
it's a little bit. Isolation is definitely a piece of it. That is definitely a piece.
If and when I do that, I would like there to be mountains around.
Okay.
So I do like the state of Montana. Yeah. I'm sure there's a few. There's got to be a few out there.
Yeah. Montana has like... From I just heard this too. I think the population of Montana is very low, like
extremely low.
Because there's like you might not have a house for 3 or 4 miles.
Yeah.
In a populated.
Yeah, I don't even think there's. I don't even think there's a million people who live in the state of Montana.
No. I to my knowledge, maybe no.
Like 800,000.
Yeah, it's like low. Like,
someone's gonna Google.
I'm sure. Thank you. And we're not saying we know. Like we're saying it's low. I'm saying yeah.
Like there's more people in Manhattan than Montana.
I mean,
there's more people in Philadelphia than Montana.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. It's low. Yeah. It's definitely low.
So I would be out there doing my cult stuff. I would be out there doing my cult. You know, physical activity would be part of my cult.
Ooh. We've talked a little bit about this. If anybody was listening to Seriously Dad a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, and mind you, well, this is where it runs up against, this is what I mean, where it's behaviors, traits, or you know, I guess just behaviors and maybe actions that we all necessarily need. Like you basically described three human needs. It was, I mean, other than the money, but you would say resources,
resources,
food, sex.
Right.
Those are three necessities that every human being needs.
Yeah. Yes.
You're again, a good guy. You'd be like, I call it be shitty. Cause I kind of just want the necessities, but it's how you go about it. That's what I'm interested in is how would you do it? You know, it doesn't need to be the way you've heard about it. It would just be public shaming.
Yeah, I don't want to shit on any. There'd be some dogs there. There'd be a lot of dogs.
Oh, okay.
There'd be a lot of dogs. Like dogs just running free, man. Right. Dogs just pit bulls as far as the eyes can see, just enjoying themselves.
This does sound like chimp lady. It does sound like chimp crazy or whatever a little bit. Just kind of like, you just don't have chimps. But
chimp crazy.
Yeah, there's monks. There's monkeys.
Dogs.
Everywhere.
You know, I don't know. Livestock. I would like livestock.
You're talking about a compound.
Yeah,
you're building a compound.
I'm going to swap out a necessity. I have a compound. I have livestock. Someone's got to take care of the
livestock.
You're
going full. Nice. Yeah.
You ever been in or around the chicken coop?
Yeah.
Fucking disgusting.
It's really, chickens
are
not
really
a clean
fucking
animal.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
I ain't going in there. I'm the boss of this thing. I'm not going in there and get my eggs. Go fetch my eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fucking gross. So I would have someone doing that. Go get the goat smoke or whatever we're on, whatever we're drinking at that point. Yeah. You know, so that would be good. Someone's got to take care of the dogs. Make sure all the dogs have food. That would be a good one. Okay. I like that.
Now it gets into the sexual aspect here.
Okay. Now, no wavering on that. That's got to happen.
It's a hard out.
If you're not down with that, then you got to. But aren't most cults?
Not all. Some. It's kind of those three or four pillars.
What percentage of them?
I'm sure the FBI somewhere has that like statistic of like percentage of cults that are dipping. I let's just go off of a judgment, if it's okay with the audience, to go off of like, I would say 60-40. I'm being generous, I think, 60-40. Because what we're also forgetting about is just the financial cults. Like, I mean, NXIVM and stuff.
Yeah,
NXIVM dipped in a little bit of sexual stuff, but not a ton. Like, it, you know, is it, if you're saying if it's at play just even once, I would probably bump it up to like 70-30.
Oh, just even once?
Just even, somebody in there is probably manipulating someone to get a sexual favor.
Right.
You know? But for you, so it's just the punishments of public shaming for everything, we're assuming. Sexually, you know, what are we talking about here? What are we saying? You have the run of every woman. You're having to be a heterosexual.
This cult
guy
is going to happen after. I was going to say my wife.
You have a wife. We are pretending you do not have a wife. Okay. She's a wonderful person. You are madly in love. Yep. You are absolutely, of course.
And I don't have kids either. Can I not have kids for this?
You could obviously not have kids.
Okay.
This is it. Yeah. This is completely. Okay. We are in silo. Okay. Do not worry about any of that.
Okay.
Obviously, if your wife sees this, just think about if I asked you the same question and you had to just, again, under the same rules, give an answer. Please don't
think about
judge
my wife
him for
her
anything.
Answers would almost be the same. It'd be very
I know
close
your
to
wife. You guys are very similar in a lot of ways. I wouldn't be surprised. So, But is this, you know, in some of the examples I have in my head, is this one of those things where you have a harem? There are women that you have selected, picked out, and they just tend to your needs?
Okay.
Is it anyone at any time?
I'm going to go harem.
Okay.
Because I think that there's going to be some couples joining this cult.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really want to be like fucking another dude's lady.
Yeah.
I already took his house. He's already cleaning the chicken coops. I took his house. I can't, you know. Now, if she petitions him because she wants to join the harem, because the harem girl's probably going to get a little more than the non-harem.
Okay.
Then, you know. But it's I'm a very, you know, I'm a very sexual person. You know, that's the way I am.
Sure.
And
we all are humans.
And if given the opportunity to have a crew of partners that, you know, I think I would enjoy that. I would enjoy that a lot.
Are the punishments different for someone in the crew, in the sex crew? In the AD sex crew.
Well, they're going to get jackets.
They're gonna get
cool rhinestone jackets to walk around the woods with an AD sex crew. And I was like, hey, leave that girl alone. The bears are going to leave that girl alone. She's a part of AD sex crew. I don't know.
Shooting a doop it up. Coming to have sex with Albert.
Dude, I like that. I hope my wife sing that song next time. I don't know if I would punish them for.
Yeah, would it be any different? Or is
I'm
it
not,
just.
See, that,
again,
that,
I know.
That's where I want to punish you.
Well, what happened? And then we fall into the place here. What if the punishments don't work?
You get exiled.
Exile's a good way to go.
I'm not gonna hurt your feelings. Just you didn't meet the standard conduct on becoming of a harem girl.
Okay,
get lost,
beat.
And then we're gonna have to, you know,
we keep all your resources. Punishment is we have the everything
that would
built
be,
up
that would
this
be
point,
the way,
and it's
that
like
the way
exile. People don't realize it as much. I wish we were using that more in system. I know we say prison
exiles.
Yeah, because exile just from any group. That's why I love when they think like canceling and stuff don't work. I was like, canceling does work. If someone, you know, Weinstein, obviously prison time shit, but let's say he danced around somehow legally.
Is he in prison?
To my knowledge.
Did he kill himself?
Again, I'm sure internet. Thank you. I just know he's a piece of shit. I know he was on trial. Sorry whatever.
No one in this room was a fan of him. I let you know that much right now.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a thing of, you know, if he was at least the smallest amount of punishment, it should be like, you are obviously excluded from all types of entertainment and business everything like that. Go work at a fucking Starbucks.
I gotta say two things. I think number one, I think canceling things does actually work. And the fear of being canceled does actually work. You actually hear people say things like, I hope I don't get canceled for that. I don't want to get I don't care if I get canceled. But it means that it's on
their
mind.
That's exile.
It's an exile.
Yeah, they would feel exiled from
that. I think the civil rights movement in America, a boycott,
yep,
was cancel culture before we knew what cancel culture was.
Yep.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Cancel culture is one of those things that, you know, a few years ago, people who are very anti-cancel culture wanted to cancel Bud Light because a trans individual.
Of course. But,
so the people who complained a lot about, I'm talking about Kid Rock. He was like, oh, full cancel culture.
And then, I bought the beer.
I
bought it. I gave them money.
Right.
Already got it. And then he shot the beer.
Very, very unintelligent. Right.
Thank you.
But so I think cancel culture does actually work.
Right.
So I'm with you. And there's been times in circles where I felt like people should have been canceled. And I don't even mean on a national level.
Right.
I'm talking about our world of comedians and stuff.
Yeah.
There's times when I've heard stories, so I don't know how true they are.
Sure.
But there's times when I've heard things and I was like, if that's true, why is that person still around?
If that is true,
why are we allowing that person to stick around? I feel like exiling, is that a word?
Yeah. Exiling someone, I think we can put it in the...
Them from a scene is
a good step.
For some people, for some of the shit, some things that ever... Exiling wouldn't be a bad thing.
Yeah,
it does work to be okay. Like, you can't be part of our crew anymore. So now, I did want to ask you this about...
Yeah, please.
Now, we've already made it clear, we think very lowly of Harvey Weinstein. He's looking at the
camera. No, I'm just checking time.
So I'd already cut this off.
No.
If the role was reversed, okay, so here Neil Wood is, he's doing his comedy, he's good, he's on his way, he needs a little bump, it's just not going, and some CEO entertainment woman was like, listen here, big fella, you can, and then you'll get what you want. Would you? Do you think that would be the worst thing? And this, like, what are your thoughts on that?
It might depend on some of the activity that would need to be. I mean, if we're talking like, I don't know what she wants, almost like a 50 Shades of Grey thing, like I'm signing a contract and then she's like, I will do whatever to you for tonight and then whatever. Yeah. I'd be highly skeptical and very worried.
All right, so let's go. So,
but if you want to pad that out a little bit.
All right, so let's say here you are, you're in the room, the booker of bookers is saying, hey, I'm going to open doors for you.
Right.
All right, all you got to do is keep on showing up and doing exactly what you're doing because you're a killer. And within a year, Netflix will be knocking on your fucking door.
Right.
That's what I can do for you.
Right.
And you're looking around, you're looking at the wall, and you know that what this person is saying is true.
Okay.
She's like, you know what you got to do, Neil. Mm-hmm. You doing it? You're single.
I don't know. I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. Because I'm coming back to the feeling in the moment of like knowing I didn't get it on possibly my own merit.
Now, see,
it
bugs
me.
Okay.
It bugs me a lot.
Now, I would say you did.
An extent, right? Well, I mean, there's a pay for play. There's a little bit of like the favors for,
but
for
you got to get past. We just talked about the control that a booker or people can have, agents, managers, bookers, CEOs of movie studio. I mean,
what have they tipped to me about the sexual favor? Like, what have they given me any type of like? I know for a fact that I need to do something sexually.
You gotta lay some pipe.
Okay.
It's got to be good.
I'm going to do something sexually.
The woman is as attractive to you as Harvey Weinstein is to everyone else.
Fuck.
Okay? So,
it's going to be a pass then.
I mean, Harvey ain't a good looking guy.
I think I would obviously be in the meeting is what we're doing. If I take the meeting, I would 100% then pass.
I would pass.
And just immediately go shopping I would look for other stuff and try to find somebody that would be able to help me out without that thing. It's just, and I know people are like, well, you wouldn't do it. I'm like, I don't know, man, when I die, I don't want, I mean, people talk about not having regret. I would, and I said, like, that's crazy.
But
I
have regret. Okay, so let's say, and I would let's regret say it. This person gives you the opportunity and you earned it. You're good right. at it. You're a comedian. You're killing. Mm-hmm. Your career is not a fluke. Would you still feel like you didn't, earn it properly?
Maybe it's the raised, you know, with like, I don't know. I think I would still feel it. I would know, again, the actresses that Harvey Weinstein manipulated, like they've definitely expressed regret over how they got it. I think they regret the fact that it had to be done. Like they made the choice that was right for their career, but mm-hmm. feel regret over the fact that that was the choice they were given. And yeah, it's that push and pull of like, well, what else? Anyone would have done it. And you're like, yeah, you're not wrong. Other people would do it. Other people, unfortunately, have done it. But I don't know. For me, the integrity, I do have, you know, I was going to go into the army. I mean, I have with very high ideas of like what integrity is.
You got some real integrity.
You know, I don't like cheating and I feel dirty if I do. So it's like, it's a thing of, I think I would feel some sort of way, you know, I think movies that have done it or like, you know, situation you've heard it where it's like that person was helping you the whole time. They got you place and then they hold it over. Then they go like, well, you knew what you were like. They didn't give you an idea of sex, right? It's the gross dude who's like, you know, Harvey Weinstein was straight up, I think, with Paltrow, could be wrong, but with a couple of actresses was straight up like, do this and I will help. Mm-hmm. And then there's that other thing of like the behind the scenes, like, yeah, no, I'm helping you. You're great. You're awesome. And then you come to find out that they expect certain things from you. Right. If that doesn't happen, then they will stop helping.
Uh-huh.
In both instances, I just feel gross. I feel like I don't feel like, you know, one, you manipulated me. Yes, I have earned where I got here, but now you're manipulating me on that side. The, you know, the aforementioned one is like, you're manipulating me straight out of the gate. And I don't feel like I've earned or would have earned it.
I think that probably in like Hollywood, where, you know, whatever, famous people, movies, entertainment, for every person who's come out and been like, this person did this fucked up, there's got to be like 40 of them who are like, I ain't saying shit.
Sure.
I knew what I was doing. I've done worse for less.
Sure.
Here I am. I'm at the awards. I'm at the thing. I'm hanging out with this guy. I got to marry this dude or woman, whatever. I ain't saying shit. I'm not telling on myself. Yeah. And, you know, I always said I wish there was more women in the Illuminati so I could fuck my way to the top. You know what I mean? Like, I wish the Illuminati was a little more open. You know what I mean? It's kind of only makes
the diversity in the Illuminati is so poor. Singular.
You know what I mean? Fucking A.
It's ridiculous.
But, you know,
one black guy, but that's it.
Yeah. I would do it.
I feel
like, yeah, okay. I would do it. I
don't think anything less of you for it. I get it.
I've done less. I've done worse.
Yeah, you've done more for less. Yeah.
Like I've just drank too many beers and done that. Sure. I'll do it to advance a thing. And I wouldn't tell anyone. If it was clear, like, listen, what you gotta do is you gotta do this, and doors are going to open like you've never believed, and it happened. Mm. I ain't telling anybody.
The thing I always go back to is I have a deep distrust for human beings that put people in those situations. And I think the hardest part is me getting over that. Cause I just don't trust that person. Like, I do not trust that person to do right by me in any way, given that circumstance.
Now that's a fucked up thing.
So that's when I get that that's the risk. That's right. Basically the risk you're putting on the line. It's like, I'm about to do this. Let's, don't fuck me. I'll fuck you, but don't fuck me over.
Well, that is a fucked up thing. Now, if someone does favors or whatever, and then you don't honor your part of the agreement, you deserve whatever. You deserve physical. I don't think it's wrong for two consenting adults to come to an agreement and then make something happen.
True.
Whether it's a fucking sex pretty woman kind of sex worker, fucking Harvey Weinstein, a goddamn massage. If two people come to the agreement of we're going to do this and this is going to happen, have at it.
Right.
You know, like as much as I don't like the guy, I do think it was fucked up when Stormy Daniels told on President Trump, you guys agreed that he was going to give you money for some pussy, and then 30 years later, and come out and be like, oh, you know, he gave you money for... That was fucked up.
Yeah.
He paid you to shut the fuck up. You took the money. You owe this dude money, as far as I'm concerned. And this isn't me saying I like that guy, and that, you know what I mean? But yeah, I think if two people come to an agreement, whatever the fuck, then do it too. But I understand what I understand what you're saying, and it can become very manipulative, where they're like, "Oh, I never really said that. Just because I brought you here doesn't mean da da da." I'll tell you a story. I was once given an opportunity to go out west for a bit, and the plan was I was gonna go out west and go meet all the right people.
Right.
Very vague.
This old. Yeah, this very old. Very vague. This, time. This is like snake oil salesman in the East trying to tell people to go to California.
Meet the right people. What, am I going to meet them at a gas station? Am I going to meet them at the gym? Am I going to meet them at the fucking comedy club? Or am I going to meet them at the sex club? Where am I going to meet them? It was very vague. You're going to meet some people. Meet some people. So I'm keep it real with you. I considered, okay, do I go out there? You know, I could go out for a few months. I could, you know, if I met the right people. And I was talking to my friend, and I was just like, something doesn't seem right about this. Like, this could be one of those things. And I didn't go through with it. But I remember thinking, like, yo, you could say yes to this, and you could end up in that room surrounded by, hey, maybe the person who wants you to do cool sexual shit is a beautiful human, a beautiful woman that you want to do cool sexual shit. Maybe it's a room full of four dudes talking about, hey, and I was like, I don't want to find out. I'm not interested in finding out what's going to happen once I get there. And this was before all the Diddy's talk. This was before we knew that people were doing with the champagne and the parties and the free calls, all that shit. We didn't know that. And when I was talking to my buddy about it, he was like, look, if you go, you can only drink the drinks that you brought. Smart. You can only smoke the weed that you brought. Mm-hmm. Don't take a pill from anybody.
Yep.
Maybe keep your phone running or at least the recorder on the entire time while your phone's in your pocket. And I was like gearing up to like go out there and be like a fucking.
Yeah, you become a single woman at a singles mixer.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And then I just said, fuck it. Like, I'm not going to do it. I can't risk it. But yeah, I mean, and maybe it was nothing. Maybe, because that's what I was saying to him. Maybe, did I just give up an opportunity? Did a door open that I slammed close? But I wasn't interested in finding that one out. Yeah. Because manipulative. Because they use a term, you meet all the right people. Yeah. What the fuck does that mean? I've met a lot of great comedians. They don't fucking remember me. Yeah. I met them, though. You know? What does that do for you?
A friend or someone who was looking out for you would definitely want to be like, you know, if they were reaching out and being like, hey, man, listen, they would frame it this way. If it was me talking to you, they'd be like, hey, man, listen, so come on out. I can't guarantee anything, obviously, but we're going to this party, and there's going to be this and this person there. Maybe, you know what I mean? I don't know what I can do. And I even have friends, you and other people like, yeah, you know, come, like, you know, do the thing. Of course, like that's how it's usually portrayed. And a lot of times this comes up in like model world or any really women who need to like possibly be involved. You do modeling work and stuff like that. Obviously you're a 6'3", you know, dude. I mean, so it's a little
looking at it. With jiu-jitsu. It's a great camera. Yeah. Hopefully it gets
which
it
is,
all.
Did you, okay. with jiu-jitsu training. But, you know, it's a different circumstance. But at the same time, you know, yeah, you start watching what you're drinking, what you're doing, you know, you never know. And it's usually also very vague. It's always vague. Very vague.
Yeah.
Where are you? And they always say the good thing is to bring a friend.
Bring a friend.
They go, bring a friend. If you're a model or someone has to do work like that,
bring a friend.
Bring somebody you know. You know, there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to come, right?
Right, right. If this is on the up and up and this is cool, why are you worried my friend is here?
Come on in. Yeah. They're not, you know, they're going to be cool. They're laying in the back, but I got a friend here. You know, I've definitely done it.
I mean, you mentioned something that was very interesting. Not interesting, I think eye-opening. And that is, you said, like every woman at a
singles mixer.
I mean, there are, you know, the world of comedy, how many times does a new woman show up on the scene, do a couple of mics? I'm sure the DMs start going wild.
Yeah.
Hey, great. Hey, you were really funny. If you ever want to write sometime, hey, if you're thinking of getting into comedy and you're a young lady and someone says you ever want to write sometime, just say no, okay?
Be on guard.
Yeah, because that
there's no reason why they can't.
You don't need to write
message
with another,
you to write.
Yeah. You can write over the phone.
I'm sending you a doc.
Joke. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, and I know that happens. Hey, you want to write? Hey, what mics you hitting tonight? Oh, you know, da da da. It's like, now, I know a lot of people in Philadelphia comedy scene that are cool.
Sure.
I don't know everyone in Philadelphia comedy scene, and there's like four classes of comedians that have come in that I don't know.
Right.
I'm sure shit gets weird on that with them and what's going on. And Yeah, I guess what you just said is kind of eye-opening. Like, maybe I should pay closer attention and see what's going on. And, yep. You know, but then, you know, see, this is where I worry like you. If I see a new comedian, I pull her aside and go, hey, just so you know, don't go writing with anyone. They're all creeps.
Sure.
How does that make me look?
Right.
Am I now the creep? Because, like, why would you even say that? Why would
most women, I mean, also there, I guess there's the trope now of, like, you know, women aren't off the boat from Idaho. You know what I mean? Like, there's that old thing of, like, I'm going to be a star out west. Like
a boat,
like,
from, you know, Idaho.
Off the boat. I said off the boat.
From Iowa or Idaho?
Either one.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Off the tractor, right?
Well, Idaho, not as much. Or Ohio, not as much. But, like, yeah, obviously it's, off the train from, yeah. Like, you know, most women, unfortunately, nowadays, in high volume city area, you know, they know the protocols enough. But unfortunately, it does still happen where it's, you know, you've got a guy who is, you know, and it's new to the, they're new to the comedy scene, and like, maybe this is normal, but most of the time, women, or anyone, you never know, check in with friends of friends, check in with this, that, bring a friend, like all that stuff, yeah. All those protocols for meeting strange people still apply.
I mean, I remember when I first started comedy, I had to find a friend. I found Steve Bickle.
Sure.
Bickle's a good dude. I wish I would have been a little luckier and maybe found someone a little cooler, but you know, I ended up with Steve Bickle. Absolutely. You know, we were brand new comedians. We were standing in front of the grape room. Everybody knew each other. I looked over at this guy. He looked over at me and I was like, what's your deal, bro? And then we just started a fucking conversation. We became friends.
Yeah.
So for women, I guess they probably do get in and they're like, I got to find somebody.
Yeah.
I got to have a crew of some. And comedy is an interesting thing where if you have friends and people around, you'll probably get more out of the game.
Of course. Right, naturally.
So, you know, women, just be careful, I guess. Like,
yeah. Like an interesting conversation when it comes to this, the fact that we started with you getting a harem.
Yeah, now here I'm a woman, careful.
Comes back to just us being worried about women.
But I know you've seen it, and we don't have to say anyone's names, we don't have to say anything, but you could even see by, like, where they're getting booked.
Oh, I've unfollowed dudes I knew from back in the day who are still somehow doing things in the scene who, you know, I have found out later, you know, were this problem with it for this other person. And yeah, it goes into a lot of manipulation tactics that, you know, I learned about from the things that had happened from those people. And you're just like kind of, you're like awestruck. You're kind of like, oh my God, I can't believe this dude. This person was being this type of asshole this whole time. And, you know, but if no one says anything and, you know, you're not thinking that, you know, you're not a piece of shit. So you're not like, you're trying to look for, obviously, anybody who's acting shady. But like, if you're not seeing anything, it happens.
Like, how do you think this would work? And this is purely hypothetical. I don't know. But let's just say you knew of a borderline weirdo.
Yeah.
Dude. He is a comedian. He also books a handful of shows. And, you know, and you know for a fact this person is how they are. And then you see them kind of like get their hooks in someone that maybe you know, maybe you don't know. Mm-hmm. And you're watching, you're like, oh, that person's with that. Oh, again. Do you think if you went up to the other person, young lady, and you said, hey, just so you know, be kind of careful. Like, you know that person's doing this, but how do you think they would take it?
Right.
Because you're kind of saying to them, you're getting something because somebody wants something from you.
Yeah.
Which could be seen as very fucked up thing to say to someone.
Yeah.
Right? Especially someone who may pride themselves on their talent.
True. Yeah, there is a...
How do you think that would go over?
It would be interesting. I mean, I think I would definitely work on crafting a, you know, how that conversation happens. You really want to be careful with it. And make sure you're coming from, like, hey, objectively, like, here's what I've seen. I've talked, frankly, about sometimes, but I'm always very stepped away from a lot of this, you know, a lot of folks. Anytime you're in a big group of whatever type of organization you're in, you know, depending on your level of intensity with that group, you know, I would say that I was kind of pulled back from a lot of life and stuff. But anyway, it's more of, I usually would be like, hey, here's what I've observed. I do not know the facts of the case. You know, but this is what I have observed personally. Here's what maybe some rumors, just straight up say, be like, these are some things that people have said. Here's some things that I have seen. Just presenting the facts of the case. Be like, take it what you will. I obviously, you know, you're a cool person, whatever, you know, but just be on the lookout. And try to do the best you can with that combo. And that's happened, and I've been part of those conversations in the scene and stuff like that, of just someone telling someone else, that this person might be trying to do this and might be trying to do that mm-hmm. with them. And it's a good thing to happen. It's tough when it's kind of what happens is it's usually charged with a lot of emotion, and that's tough, or done publicly, or like sloppy in a way, or, you know, something that's like, we don't need to be this splashy. We can communicate or be very frank and open and talk to that person directly. Really what it comes down to is I've had the moment of like, I would just talk to that person. If someone, I would just go up and be like, hey man, you're not welcome here, or I know what you're doing, or whatever. And just be like, I don't like that. But if I was having control over the environment, I would be like, I don't want them here. They are not allowed here for these reasons, and this is what I feel. If anyone else objects, you know, it's my show, so it's whatever it's my thing. But if it's not my thing, then it's like, and also speak your piece and then leave. Just extricate yourself from that situation as well. But I think it is important to try to talk about these things openly in public, because the one thing we've talked about, shame, is not happening as much, but it's starting to come back a little bit with a lot of things going on, where it's like shame used to be kind of how public shame is kind of how we dealt with stuff a lot of the time.
Wasn't there like is that a thing in like sociology or something where that's one of the best like like punishments?
Public
shame.
To my understanding. I mean, yeah, we just don't, it kind of, we're so insulated now that a lot of it isn't. I mean, down to stories I remember hearing before COVID and stuff of like people on the train in New York. Like, you grew up in New York and been to New York a lot more, and you've gone back and stuff and everything. You know, usually someone was really being a mess. I don't mean like even down to somebody having a mental situation. You know, obviously that's a mental situation and they're having a breakdown and it's tough. But I just mean like people not minding their P's and Q's on the train and being disrespectful. We can take loud phone talkers, full on, like, you know, it
doing that before, thing. Hey, doing this fucking thing. Hey, what's up with your bro?
Just the whole thing. It's like, I feel like now, even in cases in New York, there's definitely a ton of like, people that I see as people speaking up for the good of the train. I usually just back that person implicitly. I'm usually just like, even if I'm not involved, right? I'm sitting over across the aisle. I know that person's talking. I'm like, I'm already rolling my eyes too. And then somebody chimes in, hey man, can you just kind of talk, take it off speaker? We all don't need to hear your convo speak loudly, on the back of the other person's neck, And I'm usually like, yeah, man, try to speak up and be like, yeah, dude, but I kind of thought that's how city, because, there's so much going on. There's so much etiquette. There's so much, but I feel like now we're all a little bit more insulated. We've all got headphones in. I don't want to deal with that.
It's easy.
It's easy just to pass up. I hope more public shaming sort of comes back. You see somebody do something fucked up, be like, yo, man, cut that the fuck out.
Yeah. Scale, right? Well okay. There's a reason why I said this. I saw this something that's making me feel this way. I saw a show on television. No, I didn't see it on television. It's on the internet, but it was on television. It's called The View.
Okay. I'm familiar with it.
Yeah. Now, I think they kind of get their rocks off on being a polarizing kind of thing.
Got to say something that they can clip, right?
Yeah. Right? And I mean, here they are getting buzz on our platform.
Yeah.
I don't really know what they're about. I don't know everybody who's on there. I know Whoopi Goldberg's on there. I think a lady's name is Joy something. I don't know everyone else. I feel like they kind of come and go pretty quickly. So the lady goes on there and she says they did a study where they asked so and so many women if they needed men. And the percentage of them that said yes was very low. Do women need men? And it was like an overwhelming amount of no's. And then they asked dudes, do men need women? And the men, overwhelmingly large amount, said yes. So anyway, the moral of the story is the ladies from The View, and the one lady even says, because men are worthless. Mm. All the fucking jabronis, they all start clapping and shit. You know what I mean? All the fucking live studio audience.
Yeah, they're cutting to the dudes clapping in the audience.
And then I don't know what else was said. So I don't know what else. I don't know if someone said, hang on, that shit isn't right. Right. Now, if you ask me, that's an incredibly fucked up thing to say.
Right.
Okay. Number one, who the fuck's going to give you a baby? Okay. Because biology, you
before you answer though, why do you think the women answered that way?
Why do I think the women answered that way? I think the women answered that way because to be very, like the quest for like a, to create like a, an independent world. Like we are independent of men and we don't need them because everything we do is good enough and well enough as we stand here as women.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Gotcha.
Now, I think, I personally think that we do, women do things better than men. Men do some things better than women. And you find the balance of that and you create positive relations. That's how I feel about it. But for her to say that is a fucked up thing. Men are worthless. You don't need men. You would never say, like, you wouldn't say, like, oh, fucking Argentinians are worthless. You know what I mean? Right. You wouldn't say that about, you wouldn't, fucking black people are worthless. You wouldn't say, you wouldn't say
taking
that.
A that's whole a whole group of people.
Yeah, and just call them worthless because, you know, now maybe they're pandering to their little crew. But she said that. Now that should have been met, in my opinion, with a hell of a lot of shame. By more than just men.
Right.
Women should also have been like, hold the fuck on. What are you talking about? What about the women who created men? What about them? You're dissing them as well because they created something that's worthless, right? Meanwhile, you're all up here. So I got to imagine at least one of them has a child.
Right. Yeah.
Right? So you need it. It's just fucking stupid.
Right.
So I feel like in her quest to like make this point, she said something that was really fucked up, kind of fucking hurtful. And she should have been shamed harder.
Mm.
And she should have been judged harder. And that show should have been judged. Now, I think maybe it kind of is, because I don't know how popular it is. But it's more popular than 60s, any show I'm in.
People over 60s, yeah.
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 And that's a long story, but like that's an example of someone who did something fucked up. The View, maybe you could consider that a bit of a cultish following. But to say something outlandish like that, and then people are fucking clapping and getting along with it, just like, I would feel the same way if someone was like, women are worthless. I'd be like, what the fuck do you mean they're worth it? What are you talking about?
We do this all the time. Yeah, especially new shows like that, you know, they're commentary shows. We compress everything down to a singular thought, right? Like as if anything is that black and white.
Is that simple, right?
And the question, especially, you know, that these people that they're giving the question to is probably, hey, I'm Dave with the View. We're here on the street, just asking a simple question, whatever. You know, maybe right. That question is already charged. It's charged in a way that I think women are, you know, like clearly answering with an idea of what the answer is, and then what they can say. Because of the male dominated society up until this point. So they're like, they're answering the question with the thing of like, as of right now, where I'm standing and everything to do with my job and my career, like, yeah, I don't need a man, which they are correct. You're obviously an individual under
you're
yourself.
Right
you, are
now,
more,
I mean, yeah.
You are more capable than anyone else. Yeah, it is across the spectrum of what it takes to be a human being in a society. Like, yes, you are absolutely, you know, but they know that's not the question. They know the question is, in dating and, you know, it's like, you know, I can't find no man, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's talking about, that's why that question is so stupid. You're correct.
It's so dumb.
It is clearly just meant for
clickbait. I think if I was in the street and somebody, I wouldn't even answer that question.
But it's so, you're right, because it's so hard to hear the men answering, some you would, of course, would say answering with like a sexual idea in their head. I would answer that question with like, well, of course. Like, I mean, what? Like,
look,
who am I going to be with?
We were talking
night?
About my house
like,
earlier.
Who's going
right?
to be my, yeah, like.
My house looks nice because of my wife.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
My house wouldn't look, and like, I don't live in a mansion. I'm not like a, but I have a nice house. My house wouldn't look like that if it wasn't for my wife.
I don't think you'd be a dirty dude either. It probably just wouldn't be as maybe like elegant.
It wouldn't be as elegant.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be smelling like shit and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. So I know that that's something my wife does better than I do. So I get, like, I just think that. You know, that's an example of someone who needed to be shamed harder. And I think that a lot of like outlets, like media, news, all that stuff, they should be shamed a little harder. And also, they should say, hey, I fucked up. I'm sorry.
Sure.
I don't think a cult leader ever has to apologize for their behavior.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever get publicly shamed.
No.
They never have to be like, All right, guys, I got to tell you, I told you there was 9 planets. Turns out there's really 14. Right. I'm sorry for lying to you. They don't do that.
No.
They would flip it to be like, this is why you're wrong.
Right.
And this is why you shouldn't question me.
Or they have a new revelation.
Yes.
I have new information.
Oh, I talked to the Lord last night. Maybe not the
Cut
Lord.
To
I
you.
Talked to the guy.
Scientology.
Last night. Yeah.
Scientology's whole thing is that, the levels have changed.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Did you see that? Yeah. There's a second. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all that stuff. It's always. It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously to say on this podcast, we usually don't get into, only because it's so blatant. We talk about cult and media and entertainment, and it's been a very good conversation around this and your perspectives of it. And I hate to be all serious. I just mean it is tough because in the media that we have now, they want to build, we say cult following.
Yeah.
For a reason in a lot of ways. And, it's not that funny. But, yeah, you know, we have so much stuff in our face now and people don't realize, and maybe I'm hyper aware of it in this way, of, like, the amount of manipulation that happens. I come from a marketing background. You were in sales.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why do the people who tell the news, right? So who's the biggest ones? The Jesse Peters Waters from Fox.
Oh yeah, I'll
Anderson
myself.
Cooper.
Oh yeah, I'll burn a bridge right now. Mike Jarrett can go fuck himself.
I don't even know who Mike Jarrett is.
Yeah, if you don't, you probably do because he's all over Philadelphia. And if you like Mike Jarrett, whatever. He's the one. He's Fox.
He's on the show with that black girl.
He jumps over. Yeah, he jumps over. He is constantly using like urban patois. He showed up for the parade or like when the Eagles won, go Birds, showed up with 3 black women.
Yeah,
seemingly that. Coming from a like clearly like staged,
like a sex.
Yeah,
party
he's like he's going out like, what's up? Yeah, oh, me and these the, 3
the,
women.
The girl was like, oh, you're still at it. Right? I saw that.
He's just a fucking drain on intellectual thought. And you're like, he's fun. I'm like, dude, he was at a couple of grads. I'll just say this. I've been at an event with Mike Jarrett.
Okay.
He's not the type of, I don't call him a man. He's fucking gross. He's just a gross dude. That is my, I'll level that against him.
Okay.
I will just preferably say, no other information. I'm just saying I found him to be gross.
Gross.
Cool. Try to sue me for that.
Yeah. But I think what you're going, so what I'm saying is like someone, I looked it up the other day just to see. Anderson Cooper either makes $15 or $20 million a year. Who's the other guy? The other guy, Tucker Carlson.
He
probably makes like $30 million a year.
That guy would stop.
Jesse Waters. Why would you pay someone to deliver the news more than you would pay an NBA All-Star?
Yeah.
More than you would play a pro ball quarterback. The reason is because they're creating a cult-like following where they can say fucked up shit and you will just believe. They're inserting entertainment and opinion into the news. And in order to do that, to push an agenda and to keep people around, you have to follow the leader blindly, create a cult. Yeah. And that's what you see now. Yep. It's all just cult-like following. That dude, the one dude said, he was talking about Kamala and her husband. And he's like, they were out shopping. And then he's like, by the way, who goes shopping? What kind of man, this is what this guy said, what kind of man goes shopping with their wife? Right? And it's like, I go shopping with my fucking wife. I go shopping for my fucking wife. I go shopping with my wife all the time. And it's like, maybe kind of man who wants to get some pussy at the end of the day. Maybe that guy goes shopping with his wife.
The dudes,
But if you create a cult-like following, you're never really held accountable for saying some dumb shit like that. Sure. But everybody in the world, whether you like Fox News, CNN, Truth Social, X, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, should have been like, yo, that was a really fucked up thing you said. That creates a healthy home, a guy shopping with his wife. It creates a positive relationship. Yeah. It's normal as can fucking be.
Right.
Why are you acting like a bitch, bro? It only gets met with a little bit of scrutiny because the cult following just follows the leader blindly and lets them say some dumb shit. Just like saying men are worthless or useless. That's a dumb thing to say. And everyone should have been like, yo, I like your show, but that was fucking stupid and fucked up. And if you keep doing that, we'll stop watching.
Yeah.
We'll cancel this shit. But they don't.
Hey, there's something about, I mean, it's just deep convo.
It's just getting deep. You thought it was going to be funny.
I will say it's someone we produce shows and stuff like that. It does feel sometimes
that you're like, I hope you guys like us and hearing us talk and like trying to, you know, and being funny and stuff for the pure nature of it being fun. That's why I do it. Yeah. I mean, if it's, you know, I hope that you're, you know, you're making quality stuff. And then you have people that are in high positions in media networks and just personalities that just for the pure nature of the fact that our attention spans have gotten so short, you know, Mike Jarrett pops up on your screen and because you've known him and seen his face forever, there's comfort in that. They know that he tests well because when they see him, they associate. And before you know it, you're not even really consciously thinking about what this dude is, what he's saying.
No, he's got like a direct line to your subconscious and your inner thoughts.
We're avoiding the elephant in the room of politics. But, you know, it just goes. That's why I think I liked the name of the podcast and like talking about this because it kind of just ekes out into everything. But yeah, it's this thing of just like think for a brief moment about what someone is actually saying. And do we... You know,
yeah, I work for this. I work for this fucking company. One, I mean, you're gonna hack all this stuff up and pick the good stuff. Is that right?
Typically, I mean, so usually we can talk about it after, but I can cut whatever you like.
All right. Well, no, I just wonder if you needed to stop soon. That's all.
No, you're good. We're gonna be.
Right. I work for this company. It was a car rental company, and they used to use this term.
What color?
I'm about to tell you. We would be in these we'd be in these meetings. All right, with like. People who work for the company who well into the $1 million paychecks.
Right.
They got it like that. They got the beach house. They got serious money.
Right.
Because that company does, I don't know what it does now. It used to make a lot of fucking money.
Okay.
Privately held, made a lot of money. They used to get us in these like sales meetings and this thing. But their slogan was, you bleed green. You bleed green. You bleed green. First of all, you know, I was younger than I am now. I think now if I was in a company like you bleed, I'd be like, okay, I bleed red and don't be talking about that shit with me.
Very strange.
Okay, like don't do that. But it was like you bleed green. And what bleeding green meant was you were going to go the extra mile and do whatever you could for the company for free.
Yeah.
That's what that meant. Yeah. That is some cult ass shit.
Yep.
It'd be like, because if you were in church and they started talking about the color of your blood, I'd be like, yeah, I'm getting the fuck out of here. You guys have rubbed me the wrong way. I don't want you to need no color of my blood. But that's some cult ass shit. One of us should have stood up and be like, yo, I work here because you pay me. That's it.
Right.
I don't work here because I bleed the fucking color of this emblem. I work here because you pay me. Fuck around and stop paying me. I'm not showing up.
Yeah.
But that's
fucking that leprechaun. Like, I don't bleed green, dude.
I don't bleed green. It's fucking red and I think blue, right? Isn't that the color of our blood? But like, yeah, they get you with this shit and you think you're like doing all this stuff because you're the happy corporate America guy. You're in a cult.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone working
corporate
for someone.
America, a cult? No.
Anyone working for someone who's not paying you, what are you doing? You're either volunteering or someone's working you over and you're not questioning. No. Isn't that the whole thing with a cult? You got to question. What's going on?
You're not supposed to, but it's anytime it's pushed up against. I mean, sales and all that stuff, it all absolutely falls into easily. I mean, if you're watching Wolf of Wall Street or Scarface, we all grew up with the dudes who like watch these movies and didn't understand the cautionary tale behind them. And I always drifted apart. I was like, dude, you're okay. Yeah, I don't think we're going to see eye to eye. I don't think you're truly getting what's going on here. Yeah, sales.
Remember you in college, people would walk off to you and be like, what's up, man? Because they were trying to talk, and you were like, oh, God, you're a fucking loser. Yeah, okay, yeah. Wow, I don't want to be friends with you.
Here we go.
They had to hit the scar, you know, trying to be like Scarface. It's like, yeah, sales, I mean, just about everything's a fucking cult, I guess.
Anyways, there's ethical sales that you can, you know, again, you're providing a service, you know, your guy who's coming to treat your hot water system or something like that, you know, he can come and be straight up with you and be like, and really talk with you and understand the problem and things like that. Or,
well, if salespeople didn't manipulate people and use like psychology and stuff, they wouldn't make any money. If people only bought fucking water bottles when they needed a water bottle, I don't know if water bottle was a good one, but or someone coming up to you and like being like, "You ever get thirsty when you're at work?" And you're like, "Actually, I do." Huh? You ever have a problem getting up from your desk and getting? Oh, I kind of do. But if you were thinking about it, you're like, this is all stupid. You'd be like, this is all fucking stupid.
Right.
Does this happen to you?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah.
Water bottle too slippery?
Oh, my. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, yeah. It's like that shit. That's all just manipulation. That's all just using psychology. Because I worked in sales, you know, standing up when they sit down, shaking someone's hand when you're seated versus they're standing. You know, Trump does it, pulling people in with the hand, not letting them get their hand back. That's all just like psychological manipulation to get you to, you know.
Yeah.
Don't ask an open-ended question. Don't ask a yes or no question because then it's going to, you know. These little things that just...
Yeah, I mean, there was some study. I had to do some sales courses, but I always came in it with, like, fuck you, I'm not doing it. Like, I just... Especially because I was dealing with kids, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, for all intents and purposes, kids. I mean, you know, 17, you know, you're in high school, senior, whatever that age is. It's right around there. I'd ever liked, yeah, and wouldn't use any type of thing I'd never felt comfortable with. It was more of like, hey, man, here are your options. This is the option I went with. Here's why. And, you know, if you went this option, this is what it would look like. And, you know, you have decisions to make. And, you know, I hope you feel comfortable, you know, coming to this side. There is ethical sales. It's just like it's so far removed from anything American-centric.
Yeah, the ethical salesman doesn't get the Mercedes.
It's unfortunate.
It's kind of slime.
Well, he needs a Mercedes, Albert.
We used to do, I mean, manipulation in sales is crazy because, like a simple question, how you been?
Sure.
Right? That's a question that you ask that makes someone think, shit, this person knows me, but I don't know where I know this person.
Oh, okay.
How you been?
Right.
Hey, it's Albert. I haven't spoken to you in a while. How you been? Right. I would say that to people my first time getting on the phone with them.
Mm-hmm.
But then you say, how you been? Now they think, oh, shit, where do I know Albert?
Albert.
Fuck. He knows me from somewhere. Shit.
Keeping them on their heels.
Yeah. And then you go open-ended or the other one, if you call someone and they ask your name, you just say Albert.
Right.
Oh, he'll know what it is. Tell him it's Albert. He knows what it is.
Yeah.
Now they think, you go Albert Davis, like, oh, this guy doesn't know this guy.
Yeah.
You say Albert Davis, oh, shit. And then you end up on the phone with someone, and it's like you just tricked them.
Yeah.
You just flat out, you didn't lie to him at all, but you manipulated the shit out of him.
Nope.
That's usually what I've found in sales.
Well, that's a good story to end on right there, dude. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not indicative of a singular thing, but that's just the nature of cold calls. I mean, and calls and sales in general. Yeah, yeah, it's, you kind of have to play into it a little bit, and I don't know. It's very interesting. It's very
sales is shit, man. It's a cesspool.
It's fun. We gotta leave it out on a high note. I feel like it's kind of
See, that's we always talk about serious things.
We
do, and like then it's like fuck, man.
It goes in. It's got to be something we can pivot to. How about there's been good manipulation stuff. There's been times when someone has urged me to do something I wouldn't have otherwise done, that it's worked out.
Do you have an example of the
girl leading into another room, you know, you don't know who the she is or something like that. And she's just like trusting her, you know, she could easily be insane, right? Like, I mean, you know, it goes, there's some nice stuff. Definitely stuff in my, like, riskier things, which I'm glad I did. You know, like jumping off bridges into water and stuff. Fun stuff where it's like, hey, man, I just did it. This is how I did it.
It's not going to hurt.
It's going to be fine. You know, thrill seeking stuff, which allows you to kind of grow and kind of, you know, trust in your own body and in your understanding and depth. So it's not all negative. But, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, riding that roller coaster you didn't want to ride, taking a trip you didn't want to ride, playing golf. Maybe you hit a club you didn't want to hit. Next thing you know, you're on the green in two and you're punting for eagle. And it's like, oh, I was going to.
And it's opening up doors. So it's just, it's be on guard. Yeah, it's definitely, don't do anything you obviously wouldn't want to do truthfully. And I really love urging people, especially with media stuff, just like, what if they mean it? Like, that's what I keep telling me. It was like, what if what they're saying is what they mean? Like, can we, it's so ubiquitous now where it's like comics, we're bullshitters. Like, we're meant to be bullshitters. We're messing around. We're, you know, like, Albert, did you hear? Yeah, these pillows, I don't know if you know, they're cashmere lambskin. I actually took them from off of a monk in Thailand. But if they smell a little weird, don't worry about it. Put your nose right up to them. You know what I mean? Like, messing with people is, like, fun. We're fucking comics, though. When it starts to be people just all the time just kind of being like, they're just kidding. I'm like, why is the woman on The View always joking?
Just kidding. Right.
Does she mean anything she says?
People say this all the time. Comics get held to the highest standard, and we're the court jesters.
Yeah, it's kind of very fun.
We're the clowns, but we get held to a very high standard. Yeah. of offending. And yeah, and like you said, oh, you know, you hear with politicians, oh, he didn't mean it. He didn't. Well, what? I'm not paying you for your
joke. What does he mean?
If I want the jokes, I'll go watch fucking Bill Burr. I don't need my leaders get telling me jokes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That is something that we need in America. We definitely need people in charge who we can't tell what they mean.
Right, right. It's like it's fucking crazy. You know what I mean? And I think the thing about it, the personality of someone who wants to be a comedian is, especially after you eat a couple dicks on stage, after you bomb a few times, and bombing isn't that bad.
No.
You don't want it, but it's not that bad.
No. Yeah. I've had fun.
Once you realize you're bomb and you're in it and it's not that bad, then you get comfortable saying the shit.
Right.
Right. And that's like, I think a guy like Bill Burr, Dave Chappelle, they put that social commentary right up in your fucking face.
Right.
And but then they get held to these super high levels of scrutiny. You're like, yo, you worried about what Dave Chappelle said? Yeah. Bill Burr, the guy whose only job is to make you gasp and laugh?
Sure.
The fuck you care?
It is weird that, like, we obviously shouldn't be held to the same standard. The standard we should be held to is just, obviously, if you're on stage speaking in a professional capacity as a comedian, what you're saying is meant to be entertaining.
It's so,
like,
movie.
But even then, it's like, right. And for some reason, we got into this, and what you should take away from that, if there is anything good from a thing that a person has said in a moment on stage and they're making a point and building to a joke, and there's stuff in there that makes sense. Comics do this all the time. We talk about real shit all the time, right?
Yeah.
We get to that point. Take just the good thing. You don't need it. We're not authorities,
right?
You can take the good message
right.
and be like, yeah, I like this one thing they said, but now we've like done that with like, no, and that's everybody now. Mm-hmm. Like you should be, it's like politicians are allowed to do that. It's like, man, they're supposed to be on their shit sort of all the time. They're supposed to say what they mean.
We're the ones who aren't supposed to be on our shit.
They're supposed to say what they mean. They're supposed to mean what they say.
Follow up on
and
it.
And they're supposed to follow up and help. That's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
It's very interesting how we're, kind of playing fast and loose with a lot of moral integrity and a lot of it. But, this podcast is here to, talk about human behavior and how we interact with it. And it's just fun getting to talk with you, man. I appreciate you just hanging.
Yeah, and these people don't even know. When we're done, we're probably going to hang out and talk for another 25 minutes or so.
We may.
But you guys aren't going to get to see that.
No. This on Patreon, you will get, obviously, uncut with everything in there. But for the YouTube folks, you're going to get a cut-up version with some commercials and stuff in there. Hey, man, I'm still playing the game. We're not idiots.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. But join the Patreon. It's $5. Get you a bunch of extra stuff, a bunch of stuff from Adam and I back in the day, on the road, comedy stuff. We appreciate it, obviously. Albert, hit him with some great stuff you got coming up. Obviously, great I'm going to try to get this up, so keep it a little evergreen. But, you can hit him with some shows you got coming up.
I got a little local Philadelphia thing over at Fergie's tomorrow. I'll be up at the Port in Port Carbon, PA, where we have a phenomenal
and that's like a
room.
Steadier show, I think. So
that's
like
a good that Port is a good Carbon. Room. Port Carbon, PA. If you're in Port Carbon area, go check out that show. It's at the Port. I'll be at Punchline in March, a couple of dates. I know that's next month.
That'll be definitely out. Yeah, yeah. Good. Go check out the Punchline show.
Yeah, they got some stuff going on. I'm always the worst at knowing what I got going on.
It's all
on.
Good.
But there's stuff. You could just go to Albert Davis Comedy on Instagram.
Boom.
Yeah. And if you ask nicely, you can get one of these cool stickers.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
There you go.
See good. That? And take a picture of the nice QR, little cool sticker. Right to the Instagram. Neil made that.
We just updated it. Got you a nice little logo.
I'm a logo now. I'm on that level. Had a great weekend with the Seriously Dad crew up at Soul Joel's. You were part of that. Did a show with Rich Voss, which was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
And he grew up with my dad, so we talked about some things. And life is good.
Hey. Awesome, guys. Well, it's been another day in the cult. That's been Albert Davis. I've been Neil Wood. We'll see you next time.
Peace, guys.
This episode of the Cult of Us podcast was brought to you by some Patreon shout-outs. Patreon shout-outs going out to shout-out Adam, Maxwell, Patrick. Oh, yeah. Thanks, everybody, for the Patreon. You get it a day sooner, so I hope you're enjoying it already. And we'll see you next time. You want to be a good person. We know you do. And that's why we're here to guide you and help. You can go to at Cult of Us Cast or Cult of Us and just subscribe and that will fix you. This is your Pope, Neil Wood, and that will fix you. We know that you'll grow as a person and be better. Check out all the stuff at patreon.com/cultofus or dropdent.com.
/podcasts. You want to be better. You will.
This has been a Drop Tent Media production.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.